This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So right in the middle of my lesson, because I forgot before we started, why don't you just look down your row and wave to everybody down your row and tell them it's good to see them. Smile real big. All right. All right. Because we always want to be friendly. Isn't that right? All right. How many know when you look at people, you always smile? How many know you don't wave and not smile? You might. That don't work, right? All right, developing trust in God. Developing trust in God. My objective today is to build your faith through the Word of God to stay focused during times of adversity. And whether we like it or not, times of adversity show up in our lives. It is just part of the walk, of the Christian walk that we're in, all right? And so I really wanted to hone in on just trusting God, really learning to trust God, because at the end of the day, that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to learn to trust God. Trusting God is really about having an unwavering confidence in Him and His Word. It's about having this assured reliance on the ability, the character, and the strength of God. His ability, His character, and His strength. Like He's able to do exceeding abundantly. You got it? You know, His character. He's not a man that should lie, nor the son of man that should repent. He's a man of His Word. He cannot lie. He will not change. That's His character, His strength. We know that He's stronger than anything. And so no matter what comes, no matter what goes, you have to have a conviction that God is with you and you cannot fail. You got it? And if you do that, you'll understand that God will always come through for you. So we really want to talk about just developing trust in God, developing. And because, you know, I was thinking about it, we're always going to have to use our faith. All right? That doesn't matter, because sometimes you'll be in a season, it'll be tough, and you're like, oh, thank God I got to the end of that. And even when you get to the end of that, and that's good, and manifestation showed up, you're still going to have to use your faith for something else. And so you have to understand that it is not like I just get through and it's done, and I don't ever have to be concerned about anything. No, because you have to understand that there is a devil out there. He is the god of this world, but Jesus says, be not dismayed, for I have overcome the world. I have stripped it of his right to harm and to hurt you. But what happens is we have to exercise our faith. We have to use the word of God to overcome all the wiles of the enemy. You got it? And so we're always going to have to use our faith. Hebrews the 10th chapter and the 35th verse. And I just want to give you some proof text before I really get into my different points. It says, cast not away, therefore, your what class? Your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. It says, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So now the writer is telling us to cast not away our confidence, which has great recompense of reward. So the difficulty of walking by faith sometimes is real. All right? And this is why the writer instructs us to don't cast away or throw away your confidence or your trust in God, because the writer says it has great recompense of reward. So what the writer's saying is, if you really understand this scripture, he's saying that my confidence is going to get rewarded. You got it? What do you mean, Pastor? My confidence, if I have confidence in him, if I have confidence in his word, if I have confidence in his ability, in his character, and his strength, watch it, it's going to get rewarded, because if I stay in faith, manifestation will show up for me. Does that make sense? Yeah. But watch this. He says, you have need of patience after you've done the will of God. His will is his word. So I've got to first do his word, and then after I do his word, watch this, I can expect to receive from God. Sometimes we want God to show up without doing his word, but how many know we have to do his word first? Isn't that right? Yeah. And so trusting God must be more than just a religious cliche. You know, I trust God, bro. Yeah, that's good. But it's got to be more than that. We must live a life that demonstrates our trust in him. You know, trust is to live off of God's faithfulness, his care, and his concern for our lives. That's really, at the end of the day, my trust is to live off of God's faithfulness, that he's always going to come through, off of his care, that he cares for me more than anybody, and off for his concern, that he knows the thoughts that he thinks toward me. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give me an expected end, to give me a future, to give me a hope that God is going to take care of me, that he's not going to let me down, that he's not going to break my heart. Does that make sense? Confidence, you got it, and trust in him. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter and the 7th verse. Let's watch what it says. All right, now y'all help me out. He says, casting a few of your cares. It didn't say that, right? No. Because and if we're not careful, what we do is we cast some of our care upon him, but we keep some of it. You got it? And we have to learn how to cast it all. You know, and some of it, I'm not sure if we keep some of it because we're trying to fix it ourselves or we're trying to work it out ourselves. But the writer teaches us that we have to cast all of our cares, any anxiety, any worry, any concern. The writer says once and for all on him. In other words, Father, I'm laying this on the altar. Watch this. I'm giving it to you and I'm not going to pick it back up. You got it? I'm going, because when I give it to him, the weight is released off of me. I'm going to, watch this, and this is what developing trust in God is, that I'm going to give it to him, watch this, and I have the faith and trust in him that he can handle it better than I can. Yes. Does that make sense? So he says, for he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. And so you have to understand that trusting God will see you through the tough times. Everybody say, trusting God will see me through the tough times. All right, let's keep talking about trusting God. I just want to keep giving you proof text. Proverbs the 3rd chapter and the 5th verse. Proverbs the 3rd chapter and the 5th verse. All right, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Okay, so not my head, but my heart. And there's a difference in trusting somebody with your head as it relates to trusting somebody with your heart. You got it? You know, there are certain people, let's just be honest, you really don't trust. Right? You know, because, you know, people that you really trust are people you have relationship with, are people that have proven themselves loyal to you and that they really love you. Isn't that right? And so what happens is we don't trust God with our heads, you got it, but we trust God with our hearts. He says, and lean not to your own understanding or your own way of trying to figure it out or your own way of doing things. He says in verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him. I'm acknowledging him in everything that I do, in every way. I mean, every decision, we have to acknowledge God. And if we do that, the Bible says he'll direct our paths. So if I acknowledge him, he'll direct my path. If I don't acknowledge him, I can't expect him to direct my path. Does that make sense? And so the question is, you got it, when it comes to decisions, when it comes to major decisions, how I'm going to do anything in life, am I really checking with God first, or am I just making whatever decision I want to make? If I make whatever decision I want to make, it could be the right decision or it could be the wrong decision. But if I go and if I go to God first, you got it, then I realize he's going to lead me, he's going to guide me, he's going to help me. Now, in the Message translation on Proverbs 3 and 5, this is my last proof text before we get into our first point. Everybody say, he's still in the beginning. He's still in the beginning. All right. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure everything out on your own. Don't look at your neighbor. Just look straight at me. Don't look at your neighbor. Look straight at me. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. His voice has to be the loudest voice, right? Everywhere you go, he's the one who will keep you on track. I know that's right. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. He says, why, and I love Proverbs because Proverbs just gives us all kind of wisdom. You got it? It's telling us to trust God. Don't try to figure out everything. Make sure you're listening for God's voice and make sure his voice is the loudest voice. Don't assume that you know it, know everything. And then live holy. Run from evil and run to God. And then he even gets in and talking about giving. Honor the Lord with everything that you own. Give him the first and the best. If we'll just follow the word of God, it'll give us everything we need, you got it, to be successful in life. He says, if you just give God the first, which is the tithe, your barns will burst, your wine vats will brim over, and then he keeps going. But don't, dear friends, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk under his loving correction. It's the child he loves that God corrects. A father's delight is behind all of this. You got it? Becomes whom the Lord loves, he what? he corrects, he chastises, right? And so you have to really learn how to develop trust in God, that no matter what comes, no matter what goes, man, I am trusting God. And the way, one of the easiest ways for us to really develop trust in God is we have to begin to look back at how God has come through for us before. You can look back in your life and say, man, that was a tough time, but God came through. And I remember when my child was going through this and God came through. And I remember when that happened and God came through. And you've got to remember, he is the same God. So if he did it before, he'll do it again. Same God right now, same God back then, right? So you have to have faith in the faithfulness of God. And sometimes you have to remember in challenging times that God has been showing up for you. He's been opening doors. He's been making ways. He's been providing for you and your family. He's been blessing you. He's been causing faith, and he's not going to stop now. Like, he didn't bring you this far just to leave you. So the key really is not him, but the key is me and you staying in a position of faith, trusting God no matter what it looks like. Does that make sense? That's a good place to clap. And I really think that is the key. I really think, and that's something that God was really, you know, was really just talking to me about. Son, you're always going to have to walk by faith. You're always going to have to trust me. So even though these things that you got on your plate, yep, you're going to get through all those, but you still have to live by faith. It's not like we get them all done. Man, well, I don't have to live by faith anymore. No, you always going to have to live by faith, because the just shall live by faith. All right, I have three simple points for you today, amen, that I believe will help you understand how we should trust God. Okay, point number one, when we trust God, we won't worry or fear. When we trust God, we won't worry or fear. All right, repeat after me. When we trust God, we won't worry or fear. And see, that's what the enemy wants you to do, because fear is the opposite of faith. So he wants to get you out of faith. He wants you to think it's not going to happen. It's not going to work. It's too late. You done messed up. You done missed it. Just, you know, just whatever. You got it. And those are just tactics from the enemy. But there's nothing new under the sun. He still got his old bag of tricks. You understand? And so that is why, to the degree I develop trust in God, I'm not going to worry. Now watch this. This is why the writer tells me to trust the Lord with my heart. Because in my head, there can be worry, but there ain't going to be any worry in my heart. Does that make sense? Because the enemy will try to shoot a negative thought into your head to make you doubt, to make you not believe. But when you trust God with your heart, watch this, you won't allow that thought in your head to stay long, because there's a trust in your heart. You say, oh man, forget about that. God is with me. I cannot fail. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Does that make sense? And so what happens is, that is why we trust God with our heart and not our head. Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 25th verse says, therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life. That's like a big statement, right? You know, because if you're like, well, what do you mean don't worry about my life? I got to take care of this, and I got to take care of the kids, and I got to do that. And we have to understand, the moment that we gave our life to Jesus, you got it, we got out of the driver's seat and got over in the passenger seat. And we allowed Jesus to take the ship. Watch this. He's now the Lord of our life, right? And so the reason I don't have to worry about my life is because he's the one that's leading me. He's the one that's guiding me. You got it? I just got to follow him. And if I follow him, everything's going to work out. Even if it don't look like it's going to work out, it's going to work out. The kid's going to be okay. The wife going to be okay. The husband going to be okay. The money going to be okay. The business is going to be okay. Everything is going to work out for your good if you will just trust God from the bottom of your heart. Man, this is good stuff, all right? He says, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? He says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather in the barn. He said, they don't even work like that, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He says, are you not more valued than them, than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Now, how many know that's true? So worrying, got it, doesn't produce anything. Can I add to that? Complaining doesn't produce anything. Can I add to that? Being aggravated doesn't produce anything. Can I add to that? Being mad doesn't produce anything. Can I add to that? Being mean to somebody doesn't produce anything, right? So we might as well forget all that stuff. Right? All right. So he says, all right, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more? Everybody say much more. And that's what I need you to get, that he is the God of much more. You have to release faith for much more, because God wants to do much more in your life, but he can only do it to the degree that you are in faith for the much more. You got it. You know, if you have the mentality, oh, just whatever, you got it. Well, then, you know, if you got whatever faith, you're going to get whatever manifestation. You got it. But if you have much more faith, you're going to get much more manifestation. And so you have to understand the difference, all right? And so he says, much more clothe you, O you little faith. Verse 31, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or how are we going to pay these bills, or what's going to happen with my child, or why is this going on? He says, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Verse 33, here we go. But seek what, class? First, the kingdom of God, his way of doing and being right. You got it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He says, and all these other things will be added unto you. So we don't worry and we don't fear. Watch this. Because Jesus is with us. You got it. And watch this. As long as he's with us, everything's going to be all right. 1 John 4:18 says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear involves torment. That's what the enemy wants. He wants torment. He wants you to have sleepless nights. He wants you to worry in the daytime. He wants you to think that somebody knows what's going on in your situation and they're talking about you. He just wants to do all that kind of stuff. And that causes torment. He wants you to walk in the room and think everybody knows about your situation. Guess what? We don't know about your situation. We got our own situation we're trying to work out. Does that make sense? It ain't that. I'm not saying we don't care. We love you. But we're not in your business. We got our own business. Isn't that right? I don't know about you, but, somebody come talking to me about something. I got my own stuff I'm trying to take care of. Isn't that right? And so he who fears has not been made perfect in love. How do I make me made perfect in love? Because, Pastor, I've given my heart to Jesus. Yeah, but I've got to trust him with everything. You got it. And then I can be made perfect in love. So I have to walk by faith and I have to face my giants. I have to walk by faith and I have to face my giants. I have to walk by faith and I have to face my giants. All right. And so let's talk about some of these giants or things that can cause fear, that the enemy tries to cause fear in our lives. Here's one: past failures. You got it. Because, see, the enemy would love to keep you in the past, reminding you of mistakes you made, and if I'd have done this better, and if I'd have done that better. Listen, it is what it is. Like, you can't cry over spilled milk, right? You got it. And so the whole thing is, now that I have a revelation that I know better, I do better. I make adjustments. I make better decisions, which puts me in a better place, because you can't go forward living in the past. All right. Another one that the enemy tries to cause fear to show up in your life is if you ever experience lack. You got it. Something happens. You lose a job, or something doesn't go right, or, you know, just anything. And so you have to remember, man, I'm trusting God with all my heart, and God promises to supply all my needs. You got it. And so if I do it his way, I'm going to get his results. You got it. I'm in covenant with God. I'm giving the tithe. You got it. That means he has to open the windows of heaven, that he has to pour out blessings. He has to rebuke the devourer. He has to show up for my life. So you have to have faith in that. Here's another one: sickness. So, you know, if you have a faith challenge, something happens, you get a report from the enemy, boom, immediately, here comes the enemy. Ooh, you're going to die. That is the first thing that the devil is going to tell you. And the first thing you have to respond is, I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. You got it? And you have to understand that Jesus took 39 assigned stripes, and by those stripes, you are not going to be healed. You are already healed. So you have to start walking in your healing. The enemy will try to start putting crazy stuff in your mind, try to start making you feel like, yeah, something, but you know, you were feeling just fine yesterday. You got it. All of a sudden, you got the report now. Yep, yep, you know, and watch this, because the doctor would tell you, you know, based on this, people experience this, that, and that, and faith coming by. And so you can't accept that. You understand? I understand what the doctor says. I appreciate what he says, but I can't receive that. You got it? I'm only receiving the healing virtue of Jesus that is flowing through my body from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. So I'm not the sick trying to get healed. I am the healed resisting sickness and disease. Does that make sense? And if the devil is trying to play with your mind, you know, you got to start declaring the word of God. You know, and you sitting in the living room, he's still talking. Get up, go outside, go for a walk. Come on, somebody. You know, you have to make sure that you do whatever you got to do to let the devil know you ain't winning over here. You got it. You ain't winning over here, right? Okay, here's another one. Current situations that have taken you by surprise. And in life, there are times when things happen, and man, you're like, man, I didn't see that coming. You got it? But even though it took you by surprise, it hasn't taken God by surprise, and God already knows what he's going to do in your life and in your situation. Have you ever been through something that took you by surprise? Just kind of think about it and how God worked that thing out. You got it? Well, it's amazing when you first, you know, now that it's worked out, you're like, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, man, God was good. But initially, like, man, I didn't see that coming. And if you're not careful, fear will try to grip you to make you worry, to think, man, what's going to happen? But you have to understand that God will always come through for you. He will always come through for you. And listen, I need you to start talking to yourself. You got it? I mean, sometimes, I don't care if you're at work, sitting in the office, you ain't got to be loud and boring, saying, hallelujah, he's always going to come through for me. And then everybody's wondering what's going on. You ain't, and I don't have a problem with that, but I'm saying you don't have to do that. You can be at your desk. Man, Father, I think God always comes through for me. He's always going to open it. He's going to make a way. You got it? My baby girl going to be all right. My son's going to be, you know what I mean? You just, the devil's always talking. You got to talk too. You know, don't let him be the only one talking. And so, you know, and when you go on lunch, man, and you're driving to wherever you're driving to get you, you know, something to eat, either have the word or some worship on. You got it? If you can just get in his presence for 5 minutes, it makes all the difference in your life. All right, so we said number one, when we trust God, we won't worry or fear. Y'all getting anything out of this? All right, number two, when we trust God, we won't bow. When we trust God, we won't bow. What do you mean? I won't bow and I won't give in. Won't give in what? To the thoughts of the enemy. I won't give in to the plans of the enemy. I'm not going to give in to his schemes. You got it? I'm not even going to allow days of contradiction to cause me to waver in my trust and my commitment to God. Does that make sense? So it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. See, days of contradiction is when your current confession is not matching your current situation. You're confessing, by his stripes I'm healed. You got it? But there's a pain in your body. You got it? It is in that time that you have to be fully committed that God's word supersedes anything that you're feeling. And that if you will watch this, if you will stay with the word and you will stay in faith and you will keep confessing the word, you got it, that it'll make all the difference in your life. I remember several years ago, I had done something. I don't even know what happened. And man, my neck and everything was, you know, it just was all messed up. You got it? You know, people say, you know, after you turn 40, you just sit down and everything, you know, but I don't receive that. You understand what I'm saying? I understand what people say, but I don't receive that kind of stuff. You got to say, well, Pastor, it's true. Maybe might be true for you, but I ain't receiving that. I was talking to a guy I was just about to turn 40. He was a preacher too. He said, Doc, oh, you about to hit that age. I'm like, what age? He said, man, you just sit down in your car seat. Next thing you know, you walking like this. I said, not me. You got it. But I had slept the wrong way and something had happened. And I can't remember if I had to, if it was, maybe it was the weekend. And I don't think I was traveling, but maybe, I would probably normally go to the chiropractor or whatever. And so, man, I couldn't, and Sunday was coming and it was really bothering me. And, I had been praying. And then I woke up that early morning, I think it was a Saturday, and the Holy Spirit says, just receive your healing. You got it? And I'm like, Lord, I do receive my healing, right? And he's like, just receive your healing. And so I got up out of the bed, I walked into the bathroom, and I just lifted my hands. And man, I just stayed there, and I said, Father, I receive my healing. I receive my healing in Jesus' name. And then I would pray in the spirit for a few minutes, and then I received my healing. I received my healing. And then, man, my hands were getting kind of heavy. You got it? Because, you know, you can only lift your hands for so long. You understand what I'm saying? But I hadn't received my healing yet. You understand? And it was almost like, you want to receive your healing or you want this weight to drop? Which one do you want? So I made it up in my mind that I was like this, but I felt like I was in a fight with the devil. You understand? And I was like, man, I received my, Jesus took 39 stripes and by, I received my healing. I received my, and then all of a sudden, boom, it all just left my body. Just like that. You got it? And then I ain't gonna lie, I was trying to find it. I was like, man, what? You know, and you know, but when God heals you, don't try to find it. It's gone. By the stripes of Jesus, you're already healed. And so what am I saying? What am I saying? You have authority as a believer. You got it? There are things, there are rights that you have. There are covenant rights of healing and peace and prosperity in your life that sometimes you got to go get by yourself. You got it? And you just got to start declaring whatever it is. You got it? If something's going on with your child, go get by yourself. If you got to go get in a car and drive to the back of Walmart so nobody see you. You understand what I'm saying? And just, you know, if you got to cry, cry. But while you're crying, confess the word of God. You won't get my daughter. You won't get my son. Hello, somebody. Their heritage is of the Lord, and their righteousness is of him. They are leaders and not followers. They'll make good decisions. They'll follow you all the days of your life. You understand? And what am I saying? Take the authority that you have, which is the word of God, and start confessing it and start seeing it come to pass in your life. Amen. That's good. Give the Lord a big hand praise. Oh, man. Where does the time go? Is it really 2 minutes left? All right, this has been good, hasn't it? All right, and my last one, point number three, when we trust God, our blessings are guaranteed. When we trust God, our blessings are guaranteed. You got it? Anybody besides me, especially as we get older, we're not old, but, you know, as we get older, we think a little bit more about later on in life. You got it? You know, I think about, you know, the money that I've saved up and, you know, how much I've saved up. You got it? Just through the years and 401ks and investments and, you know, and those kind of things, you know, but watch this. And while that's good, if you have it, and even if you don't have it, the thing is, if you will just trust God and walk by faith, he commits that he's always going to take care of you. That God is always going to, I know some people who you know, 401ks, you know, were wiped out just because of stocks and those kind of things. But what happens is, you got it, here we go again, you know, to yourself, you don't have to say it out loud, to yourself, just say how old you are. Did you do it? Okay, God's been taking care of you that many years. He ain't about to stop now, you understand? He is not about to stop now. The same God that's been, you've been living good. Come on, somebody. He's been taking good care of you. You've been eating. You've been taking care. The same God is going to make sure that it's going to continue to happen in your life. You don't have to back up. You don't have to start saying, well, you know, no, we are not of those who draw back. The same God that's been helping me to live like this is the same God that's going to continue, because he's the God of much more. So he doesn't just want me to have what I have right now. He wanted me to have more. But it's only to the degree that I release faith, because the Bible says it is according to your faith, be it unto you. So Matthew 9:27, I think it is. And so my thing is, what are you releasing your faith for? If you're not careful, watch this, you can mean right, because I had to learn this too, and start releasing your faith for lack or backing up in life. Now, I'm not saying we don't make adjustments when we need to make adjustments in life. I'm a firm believer in that. You got it. I'm a firm believer. Talked to a guy several years ago, and I knew he got some situations. I said, hey, man, why don't you make these adjustments? Oh, no, that ain't faith. I said, yes, it is, too. You got it. I don't care what people think about me, you know. And so my thing is, make the adjustments. I'm not saying don't make adjustments. Make adjustments, but live by faith. You got to make adjustments, but trust God that the much more and the greater is always coming. Does that make sense? All right. I think that's a good place to stop. Let's give the Lord a hand praise all over the building. All right. Yeah. If I had time, I would take you to Psalms 34:8. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. fear the Lord just means reverence him. Doesn't mean to be scared of him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who reverence him lack nothing. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, we thank you that we choose to develop and continue to develop our trust in you, that our trust in you is getting stronger and stronger, that our faith in you is getting stronger, that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. And I thank you, Father, that you are working out everything for our good. You're making crooked places straight. You're causing peace and prosperity to come. You're causing favor to go before us and make the ways in our lives. You're doing incredible things. And so, Father, I thank you that we decree and we declare and we agree in faith that our best days are not behind us, but our best days are ahead of us in Jesus' name. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and believers are praying all over the building, in this room and online, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you the opportunity. Jesus is the absolute best thing that ever happened to me, and I know he'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10 and 9 that if we'll just confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And all that means is you just have to believe that God sent his only son, Jesus, to die for you and that you need him in your life to the degree that you're willing just to repent of your sins. And that word repent is not a hard word. Just look at it as I was walking down the wrong road, maybe making some bad choices, doing the wrong thing. But I came to the knowledge of his love. And I decided I wanted to repent or make a U-turn and start heading in the right direction. The Bible says that every man that comes to Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. So maybe you need to give your life to the Lord. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. Maybe you're a Christian and you just need to repent about some things. See, repentance doesn't put you at the back of the line. It just puts you back in line. It just puts you back in a place where God can prosper you. And so I want to pray for you today. Maybe you're looking for a good church home. I believe the church you go to and the words you hear makes a difference. I believe the type of life you live is based on the church you go to. And that's not a competitive statement. All I'm saying is you have to be in an environment of faith, around people of faith that'll help produce your faith so you can get the victory, not in some areas, but in every area of your life. And I'm telling you, it is the will of God for you to walk in victory in every area, and with your marriage, in your finances, on your job, with your children. It is God in your body. It is God's will for you to walk in victory. Jesus paid the price for you and for me, for us to walk in victory. And so we have connection cards. We're going to pray in a moment, but those connection cards, I need you to fill those out in the room or online if you're going to give your life to Jesus today. If you're going to rededicate your life to Jesus today, I need you to fill out this card. If you're going to join the church, I need you to fill out this card. And then once you're done, you can just, on your way out, the ushers are holding offering buckets. You can drop it in. You can hand it into guest services. If you're a first-time friend, you can take it to the first-time friends table. But I want you to make sure online and in the room that you fill out this connection card if you make a decision. So let's seal the deal today. If you're in the room and you said, I need to make Jesus my Savior and my Lord, or if you're in the room and say, I need to rededicate my life, or if you're in the room and you're a Christian, you just need to repent, I want everyone actually to repeat this prayer after me. Why? It's going to help the person next to you that needs to pray this prayer. So everyone repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior, and from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. Tell him you have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord. And I'll always serve him. Now, Father, we thank you for what you've done. We give you praise for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise all over the building?